Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Well, this is already the third week of our current message series that we're only half humorously calling Confessions of a Control Freak. And I have from the beginning quite honestly confessed the challenge I face when it comes to this issue. Actually, when you're a control freak, the challenge isn't so much for you as it is for everybody around you. This is only a partially autobiographical message series because bottom line for this series, we're contending that we're all control freaks in one way or another, at least about something, cooking or cleaning, driving or working, health and fitness, diet and exercise, saving, shopping, scheduling, planning, and of course, child raising. Each of us clutches on to something or several somethings that become an issue of trust for us, and it can actually get in the way. It can get in the way of a lot of stuff, but it can definitely get in the way of a relationship with God. And if we could learn to release or relax our grip just a bit, the quality of that relationship, along with the quality of our lives, could actually increase. And that's what this series is all about. So last week we talked about letting go of some of our preconceptions when it comes to what a good, what a great life is all about. Turns out we discovered that a great life is actually discovered in part in service to others. So we took the occasion last week, if you were with us, to do some recruiting, some long-term recruiting for our Christmas Eve celebrations. And by the way, we said that we needed 500 people. We needed at least 500 people to help host Christmas Eve at the Cow Palace. And I am happy and actually very proud to say that you guys stepped up to the plate and you filled every single position that we needed for Christmas Eve. Congratulations. But we can always use more help, lots more help. So if you still want to serve or you want to serve with your family, we can use your help too. Just go to our website or stop by the kiosks on the concourse. Also, as regards service, this Sunday is Mission Sunday here at Nativity. We're celebrating all of the amazing things our mission teams do around the world and here in our own city. Today we have mission partners from our Baltimore City missions who help with the renewal and the restoration of our own city. I think of all of the incredible things that go on here at our parish, that this is one of the unsung stories, and we're inviting you to stop by those tents on the concourse after Mass to learn more. We're not asking for anything today. We just want you to know about all of the good work that's already going on. Well, today we're going to look at this topic of control from a very specific perspective. We're going to look at it in terms of our image, what others think about us and what we want others to think about us, what we'll do, the lengths we'll go to shape and craft and maintain our image. How do you know if you're a control freak about your image? How do you know if this is actually an image for you? Well, there are certain warning signs. For instance, if you're a guy and you've ever lied about how much you bench at the gym, you could be a control freak about your image. If you're a gal and you have to put on makeup before you'll even go to the gym, you could be a control freak about your image. If every photo you post on social media is photoshopped, you could be a control freak about your image. If you have ever embellished your kid's sports resume, you might be a control freak about your image. If you have ever had your family redo some moment of a celebration or party so that you could recapture it perfectly before posting it on Instagram, you could be a control freak about your image. If you have ever spent money you don't have on stuff you don't want to impress people you don't even like, you could be a control freak about your image. There are other ways you might know you're a control freak about your image. When it comes to stuff, okay? Your kitchen is not about function. Your clothes are not about comfort. They're an expression of the image you want to project. When it comes to lifestyle, you've adapted a lifestyle designed to impress that is frankly above your means. It's sinking you into debt. When it comes to family, you could be a control freak. When it comes to your image of your family, it's very, very, very important to you to project the image that your kids are perfect and you have a perfect relationship and rapport with them. No matter that you fought in the car all the way to church this morning, as soon as you get out of the car, you put on the happy family face. This can be a problem for a lot of us. It's hard. It's hard if you're in middle school or high school not to worry about what others think of you. And as adults, we should be especially sensitive to this challenge for our students. And just let me say to any teens that are here, if you're trying to impress people who are giving you a hard time because they don't like the way you look or dress or talk, guess what? 5 years from now, you won't even remember their names. Moms, you know the other moms you're trying to impress at your kids' school to convince them that you're a great mom too? Well, guess what? Before you know it, your kids will be in a different school, and there'll be a whole new crop of moms to impress, and you'll have to start all over again. Guys, you know all the other guys you're trying to impress with how knowledgeable and skillful and smart you are? Well, one day, all those other guys are going to take early retirement and move to North Carolina to golf. And you'll never see them again. And meanwhile, guess what? They really don't care how smart you are. And in the interest of our confession theme for this series, I'm going to acknowledge, I'm going to confess that I'm a control freak when it comes to the image of our church, especially since at this point our church is kind of well known and has a bit of a spotlight on it nationally. I obsess about our website, and I spend way too much time looking at other church websites, which is a pretty stupid thing for me to do. And there's my confession. Yes, Yes, there is a need for us to market ourselves and to maintain an appropriate image, and all of us value the good opinion of others. Why shouldn't we? We all want to be thought well of. Who doesn't? But it can so easily get out of hand, can it? And if the disparity between our projected image and reality grows too wide, can be a serious source of stress. And stress is deadly. It impacts our health and can lead to isolation. Human opinion is so fickle. It's so fleeting. The Bible tells us the fear of what others think of you is a trap. It's a trap that we can get caught in. So, how do we avoid the trap? How do we let go of so much stress and tension about our image? Well, to help us out, we're going to look at a passage from the Gospel of Mark. We've been spending a lot of time in the Gospel of Mark this fall, and today we're in the 10th chapter, and Mark tells us this story. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. So Jesus is in a town called Jericho, which is one of the oldest cities in the world, and at that time was a very wealthy city. Pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem from Galilee and northern Israel would typically stop and stay there as they pilgrim toward Jerusalem. So, among other things, there was a thriving tourism industry in the city. And because this episode took place just before Passover, the height of the tourism season, Jericho would have been packed with people. And to this crowd came the crowd that was already following Jesus. So this is like New Year's Eve in Times Square. Jesus and his crowd are making their way out of town on their way to Jerusalem. And as they pass through the city gates, they're greeted by a blind beggar. Begging would have been quite commonplace at the city gates. Bartimaeus, as a blind man, had to beg. There was no other way for him to make a living. He was destitute and completely dependent on the charity of others. Here's what happened. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." So Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is passing by. Evidently, he knew him by reputation, so he tries to get his attention. He can't go to him because he can't see him. So he shouts instead. And his greeting is, "Son of David." That's an important title. It's a messianic title. It's the title of the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior. In other words, this meant that Bartimaeus, blind as he was, recognized who Jesus is. Now, Jesus evidently didn't hear him or didn't answer him or ignored him. And meanwhile, many of the crowd rebuked Bartimaeus, telling him to be quiet, to shut up. This is Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus. The people in the crowd tell him to shut up. We don't know why. Maybe they just found him annoying. We don't know why they told him to shut up. But in doing so, it's clear they don't care about Bartimaeus. They just want him to go away. That's what a lot of people feel about the poor. They just want them to disappear. Now, think about this. If Bartimaeus had cared about other people's opinions and what they thought, he would have kept silent. And in doing so, he would have lost out on the greatest opportunity of his lifetime. But he didn't do that. He didn't care what other people thought. he kept calling out, "All the more, Son of David, have pity on me. Son of David, have pity on me." You know what? Persistent prayer works. Persistent prayer can be quite powerful. And it certainly was in this case, because it stopped Jesus dead in his tracks. It's almost as if he changed his mind. He turned around and all of a sudden paid attention. He instructs his followers, "Call him. Get him over here." Bartimaeus would not have been the only beggar at the gate that day. There would have been lots of others. It was a prime location, and it was the height of the tourism season. There would have been lots of beggars at that gate that day. But Bartimaeus is the only one who presents his prayer to Jesus, and in a persistent way. So, look what happens. The crowd called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you, hooray for you." The very crowd of people who were telling him to shut up, to get lost, to disappear, suddenly now evidence interest in him because Jesus noticed him. How fickle is public opinion. How easily it changes. Think about that. And look what Bartimaeus does. Throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Throwing off his cloak. Very important, significant detail. His cloak was how he made his living. People would throw change into his cloak, and he would collect it there. There were probably coins in his cloak that day that he had received earlier in the day. Throwing the cloak off meant he'd lose those coins. As a blind man, he'd have no hope to recover them, as they would probably have been quickly scooped up by others anyway. But he doesn't care. He throws the cloak away as a sign of his faith and trust that Jesus could heal him, that his life would be forever changed, that he no longer needed the cloak. And Jesus says to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The apostles were probably thinking, he's blind. What do you think he wants you to do for him? But of course, Jesus knows what he wants. Yet he wants Bartimaeus to ask. If you were with us last week, it's exactly the question that Jesus posed to James and John. They come to him asking for a favor, and he says, "What specifically do you want?" This too is an important spiritual principle to consider. Before the Lord will act on our behalf, oftentimes he wants us to be specific about what we want him to do for us. Be specific in your prayer. Don't be afraid to be entirely specific in your prayer. It works. And of course, Bartimaeus answers, "Master, I want to see." The irony is that even though he's physically blind spiritually, he could understand that Jesus was the Master and the Messiah when others couldn't. And since the blind man sees so clearly spiritually, Jesus matches his physical condition with a spiritual one. Jesus told him, "Go your way, your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. In other words, he becomes a disciple. He becomes a Christ follower. Christ's way is his way. Now he really sees. When we're control freaks about our image, we're following the crowd. And that can mean we're not following the Lord. Following the crowd doesn't make any sense. The crowd is fickle. The crowd is changeable. And the crowd doesn't care about us, and their influence is transitory at best. Developing an image to impress others is a waste of time. But how to get started, where to begin? How do we wean ourselves away from being control freaks about our image? Well, actually, it comes down to fasting. Fasting. We can fast from the things that feed our desires to control our image. So maybe for you, it's online catalogs or stores at the mall that you need to stay away from because they just fuel your insecurity about how you should dress or how you should look. Maybe there's a crowd at school you need to step back from because they're just toxic. Maybe there's a bar or a restaurant that you frequent where the regulars are taking you in the wrong direction. Maybe you need to fast from Facebook, swear off Snapchat, or ignore Instagram. Try it. Try it in the week ahead. See if it works. See if it helps. And with all the extra time that you'll have on your hands, maybe you can devote a few more minutes to your quiet time each day. Quiet time in which, like Bartimaeus, you can recognize more clearly the presence of the Lord in your life. He is present in your life. It's just we don't always recognize it because we don't have enough quiet time. And when you do, follow the pattern that Bartimaeus sets for us. Acknowledge the presence of the Lord. Call out to him, talk to him, pray to him, rely on prayer, persist in prayer, keep praying, and be specific in your requests. And if you'll do that, like Bartimaeus, you'll experience his power. You know, when it comes to cultivating an image, always play to an audience of one.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com.